Like a physical copy of the Bible or on your phone or your tablet or something. Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians is in the New Testament. After the Gospels, after Romans, after Corinthians. Eventually we get to Philippians. This morning, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read that. Because we didn't meet last week Sunday, you know, the service was canceled, and now we're finally meeting again this Sunday, I'm feeling this morning some pressure to give you two sermons. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'm going to resist that temptation. I'm just going to give you one sermon this morning. What I'm going to try and do is going to try and piece together last week's sermon with what I was going to plan to say this morning. So last week I was going to speak about affection, love and compassion one for another. And this morning I was going to talk about prayer because it's our prayer Sunday and we're heading into our prayer week. And I want to, this last week and this week and the next 3 weeks in January, go through five values that are important for us here at Nelson Avenue. Now, on our website, I think we have 10 values that hopefully everyone who's a member of the church knows. But I thought 10 is not enough. So in the bulletin for today, in the insert, I put 50, more than 50 values that I think are part of, whether spoken or unspoken, part of the culture or the community here at Nelson Avenue. And I'm hoping that whether you see it on the screen really fast now or you look in the bulletin, you'll say, oh yeah, there's a number of those values that are really meaningful to me that I can really resonate with. And this month we're looking at just five of them: affection, prayer, generosity. I want to talk in two Sundays about the city. And then we want to end the month talking about missions during Missions Fest weekend. And today is the beginning of what's called Prayer Week. We've done this the last few years here at Nelson Avenue. So from this week to next week, Sunday, we're going to spend some time praying together. And we've put together a number of prayer opportunities for you. And I'm going to encourage you, if at all possible, you go to one of the prayer gatherings, if at all possible. So we have one tomorrow night, and then sometimes during the day, during the evenings. If you can't attend any of them, then my next challenge for you is to make your own prayer gathering. Maybe on your own, but I'd encourage you to invite at least someone else into the prayer gathering. Maybe in your home, maybe in your small group, maybe whatever, you know, wherever you can gather, but just an opportunity this week to join hearts and voices in prayer. And there's many reasons why we do Prayer Week, but one of the reasons, of the many, that I feel almost a compulsion to organize Prayer Week is because of my need to pray with you. I need, as a pastor, to hear the prayers of God's people. I want to know, how do you pray? And what do you pray about? And where are the moments in your prayer life where you sometimes maybe struggle with what to say? Or can I bring that to God? So one of the reasons why I organize this, or we have this prayer week, is my attempt to spend some moments praying with some of you, hopefully. It sounds selfish, but I hope that you also have that longing. Not just to pray with me, but to pray with each other, that you want to hear the prayers that other people have. Sometimes we learn from them, but sometimes we just hear their hearts. So that's part of the reason why we put Prayer Week together. So in a few moments, I'm going to pray, ask for God's blessing on the reading and the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Bible. And thank you, Lord, that so much of the Bible speaks about prayer. And this morning, we ask that you'd help us to hear a little bit of your heart for us to be praying people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Paul and Timothy, servant of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, I don't know if you can remember the passage that Grayson read a few moments ago from Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to try and see if I can jog your memory a little bit. He was reading, and I'm wondering, for those of us who can remember that, who are following along, did you get any sense of the tone of the passage? What did it sound like? Pardon me? Loving. Good word. I want to use the word affection a lot this morning, but you know, for me, there's a lot of warmth between the writer, Paul, and the people he's writing to. There's a strong bond or connection between them. And I highlight that because maybe some of you are surprised by this, maybe some of you are not, but some people who read the letters of Paul in the Bible, as they read his letters, they think Paul was kind of cranky. You know, he was pretty serious. You know, he was traditional. He was conservative. He didn't like people. He's always down on people. Do this, don't do that. And I'm not saying that Paul was perfect or he had nothing in his personality that couldn't have been improved. But as I read these verses, I don't hear cranky Paul or too serious Paul or down on people Paul. As I read these verses, I hear about a very warm and loving, and I'm going to say again, even affectionate man who's got this really incredible connection with these people he's writing to. And a number of phrases in this passage, especially the middle part, verses 3-8, for me highlight that. You know, Paul says that, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. So every time I think of you, I'm thanking God for you. Now, I don't know how many of us can say that about somebody else in our lives. I'm not sure. But I find that astounding. He says, I am making my prayer with joy. There's this partnership in verse 5, there's partnership in the gospel. Something connects them very deeply. He says in verse 7, I hold you in my heart. And then he says at the end, at least at the end of the middle section, he says, I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, he could be lying and say, actually, I'm cranky and ornery, but I'm just going to tell you I like you. He could be doing that, but I want to take what he says at face value. I think that's the best way to read a book, a novel, a short story. When an author says something, let's believe them. So as I read these verses, I think that the idea that, you know, Paul is, you know, hyper serious and hyper, you know, doesn't like people, for me, as I read these verses, that idea of Paul is debunked. As I read these verses, I think back to the pastor I worked with first about 20 years ago when I started full-time pastoral ministry in Edmonton, Tony Mann, who said a number of times, he said, the Christian faith and the church is mostly about relationships. Now, being fresh out of seminary, I thought, that can't be right. I got to find a hole in what he said there. But I think he's mostly right. And these verses speak about relationship. Paul wanting, encouraging, strengthening, thanking God for relationships with these people. As I read these verses this morning, I'm also reminded of one of the main themes of the Christmas story. That Jesus is not simply God for us, but we confess and we sing and we try and hard to believe that he is also God with us. That Jesus is Emmanuel, which I know he's God for us, God saving us, God there on our behalf. But the Bible says he's God with us, which speaks about relationship. That the God that we worship, the God that we praise, the God that we sing to, and have sung to this morning, is a God who sent his Son to be with us in relationship or community with us. This morning I want to just focus a few moments on that verse 8. I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and say a few things about that, because for me that sentence brings that whole section to a climax. He's kind of phrase after phrase after phrase after phrase, and the best phrase to sum it all up is, I'm yearning for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is the way I think that Paul and any Christian, the way that we try or we seek or we foster love for others, always based on the affection or the love or the compassion of Christ that we've experienced. This is the rock-solid experience of Paul himself. He says in another letter he wrote to people in a place called Galatia, he said, I'm talking about Jesus. He's the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So this affection of Jesus for Paul fuels or ignites or is the power behind his affection for others. So it helps me this morning, not just as a pastor, but as a human being, whenever we try and encourage each other to love, you know, love your spouse, love your kids, love your neighbor, love your colleague, love whatever, just keep loving people. If we only ever say that, we're in big trouble. Because there has to be some fuel or some reason why we would love our spouse, our child, our friend, our neighbor, our coworker, blah, 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 blah. It has to be, at least for the Christian believer and for Paul, it's the love he's experienced in Christ. This is the foundation. This is what makes it possible to reach out and love other people. It's his experience of the affection of Jesus that makes him reach out and says, I want to experience that affection also with you, that love and that warmth with you. Now, what Paul literally says here, and once in a while I bring out the Greek text or the Greek word, what he literally says here is, I yearn for all of you with the bowels of Christ Jesus, which does, I know, doesn't sound very nice to us, right? But just like for us, I think for many of us, we can use the word heart, and we can say heart inside, but also heart in terms of the seat of emotion or the seat of love and affection. The same thing for Paul and for people in the first century when they use the word bowels, the bowels of Jesus. We can talk about the physical bowels, but we can also talk about that place where empathy or compassion or love or affection arises out of. We can almost sometimes physically experience it as we reach out to others with love and affection. And this is what Paul is saying. I'm yearning for you with the affection or the bowels of Jesus. As we read about in the Gospels themselves, in the Gospel of Matthew, at least three times we hear about the affection or this intense movement of Jesus towards others. And I want to read three places where we hear about this, and then I want us just to notice the kind of people that Jesus has affection for or compassion for. In Matthew 9, we read that he had compassion on them, or his bowels were moved for them, because the crowds he saw were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So when Jesus sees people who are harassed and helpless, who are wandering around like sheep without a shepherd, his compassion is stirred toward them. Or in Matthew 14, Jesus lands on the, he was in the boat, he lands on the shore, he sees a large crowd, he had compassion on them, his bowels were moved within him, and he healed their sick. So he lands on the shore, all these sick people, and he's stirred. Or Matthew 15, I have compassion on these people, they've already been with me for 3 days, have nothing to eat. So people who are hungry, and who might go home and collapse on the way, Jesus, his compassion is stirred. And as Jesus is compassionate toward those who really need compassion, Paul is saying that it's the same kind of thing happening in my life. Now, maybe it's quite obvious, but I just want to highlight that this affection for others doesn't happen in la-la land. Wherever La La Land is, I don't know exactly. But typically, for those of us who know that La La Land is sort of land out there somewhere. Everything's maybe nice in La La Land. Everything's going good in La La Land. But the affection or the love that Paul's talking about is not developed or cultivated in La La Land. It's developed in the real world with the real people. So if you keep reading this letter into chapter 4, we hear about people in the church who aren't getting along. There's disunity. And he's telling these people that he loves so much, talk to those people, see if they can get along. The people he's writing to are not perfect people. Even in our passage, it talks about what one day you'll be perfected. One day that'll happen, but right now you're not. But my bowels, my heart is still moving towards you. So this is not Paul, again, in some nice place with a perfect church and everyone's doing, warm and cuddly. Well, this is with real people. And maybe there are stresses in relationships, but there is still, even in the midst of that, there's warmth and affection in that community. And then, maybe most important for me, and I'm hoping for us this morning, is that when Paul talks about the affection of Christ Jesus, or the bowels of Christ Jesus, I'm yearning for you with that kind of intensity, we should recognize, as one commentator says, that it's not Paul who lives within Paul. And this is not Paul's experience. Paul would say, I'm not going about my life doing this, doing that, risking my life, talking about Jesus all on my own. It's not Paul living within Paul. Paul's experience is, Christ is living in me. He'll say later on, it's Christ who's the hope of glory is living in me. And that's why I can yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus, because as Jesus, the hope of glory, his affection for me and for you, that's coming out of me. The commentator says that the believer has no yearnings, the Christian believer has no yearnings apart from his Lord. Her pulse beats with the pulse of Christ. Her heart throbs with the heart of Christ. This is Paul's experience. It's meant to be our experience for those of us who are believers in Jesus. That when we sense our affections are stirred as we maybe look around us and there are people that there's something, I'm yearning for you, I'm longing for you, I want to have a connection with you. It's not just me doing this. There's a greater reality happening in my heart, in my life. It's actually the yearnings of Jesus. Now, I'm going to get to prayer in a few moments, but one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about affection last week, and now I'm doing it this week, and why I want to encourage us to make this a value, I know it is a value in Elson Avenue, but more and more, is because I would like, and I would hope, and wish, and pray, and when I use the word hope this morning, I want to use it in the Christian sense, not like wishful thinking, but hope, like confident assurance that maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one day this will happen. My hope that more and more of us would long for this in our church community. That the things we read about in the Bible, like Paul's affection for these people in Philippi 2,000 years ago, could also be our experience today. That there could be something stirring inside of us that says it sometimes feels like church is just like on the video, religious duty. We're just showing up again. Pastor Yo again. He's going to say some things again. We're all going to go home. But maybe there's something more that God is calling forth from us. This affection for one another. This love and this warmth for one another. And that Jesus Christ himself could stir it in us. And we could not simply long for it or hope for it or wish for it. But we could actually experience it. And part of me, not all of me, but part of me longs for that. Because as some people talk about the church, they talk about the church as a signpost. A signpost of the kingdom of God. So what happens in the church is meant to point people to the reality of the kingdom of God that has come on this earth. That Jesus Christ comes not just to tell us one day the kingdom will come, but he comes to start, inaugurate, in some ways explode the kingdom of God on the earth. And those who follow him are meant to be pointers to the kingdom of God. Not some reality up there, but as the Lord's Prayer, every time we say it or sing it, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it's being done in heaven. That's the kingdom of God. God's will happening. And I believe part of that will is that we have this affection, the affection of Jesus for each other. I'm also hoping that as we think about this or pray about this, that maybe some of us will find ourselves, and I know this could be like beyond our comfort zone, but we would talk about each other like the Bible talks about each other, right? Like we would sometimes, there'd be people in our lives, hopefully, if you're married, a spouse or a child or a good friend of yours, but hopefully also people in Nelson Avenue, we could say, I have you in my heart. Now, I don't think we can say that about everybody. Because we just don't have that kind of capacity, I think, for every single person. But we would have capacity for 2 or 5 or maybe 10 people. There are people here at Nelson Avenue, I have you in my heart. And every time I think about you, I thank God for you. I think that's supposed to be the reality of the kingdom among us. So again, not just come into church, park in our usual spot, sit in our usual seat, sing our usual songs. That's all okay. But there would be a deeper reality of affection. We would even use the word. There's affection at Nelson Avenue. Love. Yeah, but that word, I don't know what happens. It's just sort of this bland word sometimes. There's affection. And we're, in some sense, showing each other and showing the world what the kingdom of God looks like, because the kingdom of God always has to take on flesh and blood. The kingdom of God is not some idea. It gets embodied in people. It gets embodied in communities. And what I noticed, and I'm just going to end really quickly with this because I want to move into a time of prayer, and there might be someone who wants to share something this morning, I'm sensing. So I'm just going to move really quickly. What I noticed in this passage. I'm focused mostly on verses 3 to 8. There's affection. But what I notice is Paul layers the affection. He has all kinds of words and phrases to talk about his relationship with these people. For me, it climaxes is, I'm yearning for you with the bowels, with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then what does he do? You're in my heart. Every time I think about you, I thank God for you. We have the gospel that we share. I long for you with the affection of Jesus. And then what does he do? Anybody? Oh. He prays. He prays. Which I'm thinking, what a great movement. What a great movement to base our prayers, not so much, okay, make sure you pray for so-and-so, they were in the bulletin this week. But to base our prayers, I mean, sometimes we do that, but more to say, Lord, I would love to pray for people that I have affection for. That when they say their name and they need prayer, my prayer, it just oozes out of me. Because there's a connection that's been made that Jesus Christ has made for us. And prayer just it comes. And as I read the prayer, it's a short prayer. I'm thankful for short prayers in the Bible. They help me. But the prayer is not all, I'm praying for the Lord to bless you. That's not a bad prayer. But Paul is praying that your love would abound more and more. That you'd be able to discern what is best. You'd be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You'd be filled with the fruit of righteousness, all for the praise and glory of God. And I need to pray prayers more like that. And I think some of us need to pray prayers more like that than just, well, bless so-and-so and bless the pastor. And those are good prayers, but I think when there's affection between people, there's a deeper prayer that is going to happen.